This episode of Current Geek is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience, one night at a time. For a limited time, visit casper.com/savings and receive up to $200 off your purchase of $2,000 or more. More details later in the show.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the proceedings of the meetings of the Prog Pants All-Stars, geeks of the world and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson with Tom Merritt.
So I let Sawyer be down here with me today, my dog. As soon as I hit the gavel, he just took off like a shot, poor thing.
Oh, man. That's right. That dog never liked
the gavel.
I've gaveled
around him before. He's you know, he never loves it. But
no.
Wow.
Listen, dogs and sounds that are abrupt, kind of a bad combo, I've learned.
Yeah.
And you're not really.
I think he might have been sleeping. He might have not been ready for it.
And you're not a cat person, right? No cats in the Merritt
home? No, I grew up with cats. But the wife is allergic, so no cats.
Okay, that'll do that to you.
Yep.
Well, that's fantastic. Welcome back. How are you? What's going on? This is a weird day to be doing. This is Tuesday. Welcome to Tuesday.
Yeah. You know what though? I like it. Ooh. I like how it feels.
You know what? I think I do too. And here's the thing: since we both like it. And right now are liking it. Let's make an on-the-spot decision.
What?
With no forethought whatsoever. We're moving it to Tuesdays. That bell can only mean one thing. Actually, this is all true. We're going to be moving the show to Tuesdays, freeing up the weekend a little bit, and ensuring us a little bit better spot on Tuesdays. Plus, more people can watch. Just a better time.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says
it's going to be. It's going to be good times. A lot of times you may have noticed Current Geek on Friday doesn't happen. Scott's internet goes out. Tom leaves. Scott leaves.
Yeah.
That happens a lot more on Fridays than Tuesdays. So I say that February 20th, I can't do the show on a Tuesday. But it's a lot easier to not make that happen when you know that this gonna be on Tuesday. So Tuesdays it shall be.
Yep. No more weird weekend flights being disrupted. Or disrupting our show. Instead, it's Tuesday. So mark it on your calendars. It's on the main calendar now, so you'll see the change there and on the website at currentgeek.com. And we're all set to go there.
I like Tondagosa in the chat room. Weird. I didn't even question that this was happening on Tuesday.
No,
like,
that's great.
That's right. It's always been on Tuesday. I don't know what your people are talking about.
Tondagosa is so in our zone, that it doesn't matter when we do this. And we appreciate him for it. All right. Well, there's some nerdy stuff going on this week. And I'm still mad that you got to see Black Panther before I do, but I'm seeing it this weekend. So we'll talk about that next time. Well, I guess it won't be next week.
I'll give a little preview during this show.
Oh,
and then, all right. And then, yeah, then we can, after you see it, you can tell me how wrong I was or right.
Spoiler free, everybody. We're not going to spoil
anything. Spoiler free. Absolutely spoiler free.
Tom has had the early option.
I'm actually under contract with Marvel to be spoiler free.
Oh, my Lord. That's true, right? You guys have to sign
stuff. It is true. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Let's start with these headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, we're the guests today, so tell me your stories like you do your French girls.
Well, mon ami. Early on during the Super Bowl, if you recall, a trailer for Cloverfield Paradox was shown with the surprise that it was now being distributed on Netflix. Even more of a surprise was that Netflix made it available immediately after the Super Bowl. This is the movie previously referred to as The God Particle, and it seems to tie the two movies together. Everyone was shocked. Everyone was excited until they watched the movie.
Yeah, I'm hearing not great things. I haven't seen it yet, but I
guess. Oh, you haven't watched it yet?
No. Did you?
Let me spoil it for you. It's not very good.
Okay. I knew you would do your due diligence and see it before I did, but I was busy with, still am a little bit, with the other thing that's popular on, Altered Carbon, which I really like a lot.
Yeah, right.
And that kind of took my attention away. And I have a thought about this. I'm not so sure this was a good idea on Netflix's part. I understand the idea of dropping it like, check under your seat because it's available today kind of idea.
Yeah.
It seems
cool.
No, I
thought that was really cool when I saw the ad. I was like, oh my gosh, really? Like, no, showing the power of Netflix, right? We don't have to wait for a theater distribution. We can just make this happen.
Yeah. Does that only work, though, if the quality of the product you're pitching is good, you know?
I, I think it would have made a big, I think my expectation of impact would have been true if it had been good. The fact that people watched it and went, ooh, yeah. And it's got like 15 or 19% on Rotten Tomatoes, which my wife works for. it means that it's not, it starts to sound like the story is Netflix got a hold of a movie nobody else wanted to distribute and made a big deal out of it because it wasn't very good and tricked people into watching it. Rather than look at the power of Netflix, they don't have to deal with theaters.
Do you think they'd do a follow-up? I mean, just if you had to guess, like a fourth film, and then it just straight to Netflix, and this is the new home for the Cloverfield world?
They picked up Extinction.
Oh, great.
Which was a movie Universal dumped.
Good.
Which, I mean, the fact that Universal dumped it does not make me confident that this will be its next big thing. I think what Netflix is going to need to do is its own blockbuster. It's going to have its own like big name movie star. And they tried that with Will Smith.
Mm-hmm. With Bright.
It just didn't work. So yeah. they need to have one that works. And I'm not saying they won't.
Yeah.
The beauty of Netflix is they can afford to do this. This does not sink Netflix. This does not make people stop watching Netflix. It doesn't even make them not want to watch the next movie if the next movie looks interesting.
I'm on the official record as someone who actually liked Bright, but I think I liked Bright. Sounds like I'm saying light bright. I liked Bright more because of the concept than I did the execution. I loved the idea of what they were doing, kind of a Shadowrun universe sort of thing. So I'm all for them taking these chances, but lately it feels like they're just getting leftovers and then rerunning them. And sometimes that works for them. That Kimmy Schmidt show was dumped by NBC and universally beloved on Netflix. So sometimes they get that stuff right, but I agree. Big blockbuster. At some point, they're going to get it, and it won't have Marvel's name in it. It'll just be rad on its own. That day is not today.
And that's a really good point, because with television shows, they have shows that they originate themselves that have been great. Yep. Stranger Things, right?
Sure.
They have shows that were kind of up for grabs, and they won the bidding and are great, like House of Cards. HBO wanted that show, went to Netflix. Mm-hmm. Then they have shows that nobody else wanted, like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, some of which are better than others. Mm-hmm. With movies, it feels like because Amazon is willing to play ball with the theaters, they're having better luck with Manchester by the Sea and Moonlight and stuff like that.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that Amazon had all their hands in that stuff. But yeah. I'll tell you what, Altered Carbon, hell of a thing. Anyway, moving on.
All right. We got Star Wars news aplenty. Teaser and a full trailer for Solo came out last week. That movie is coming out May 22nd. It has not been moved, surprisingly to me. Disney announced last Tuesday that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are going to write and produce a new series of Star Wars films separate from the Skywalker saga and separate from a series of films that Rian Johnson is going to do. And Bob Iger said Disney is developing a few Star Wars series for Disney's app.
Goodness gracious. This is their new streaming app that you're talking about.
Yeah, the new streaming app that's coming in 2019.
Yeah, kind of figured they'd have something in the wings for that. But all right, let's start with the Solo trailer. The teaser during the Super Bowl wasn't much. It was kind of, you know, small bits, and it gave you the visuals you want to get excited, but really we didn't know much about portrayals or any of that.
Red potatoes or new potatoes, small potatoes.
Yeah, small potatoes. New red small potatoes. And then they got a bigger one the next day, and that seemed to flesh things out a little bit. But overall, I'm excited. I mean, I know there's been a lot of behind the scenes drama with that thing. Are you you confident that Opie swooped in and fixed what needed fixing?
Here's the thing.
Oh no.
I have realized of late that something is wrong with me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that I'm getting old and slow and less critical or what, but Star Trek Discovery actually tipped me up to this. All of the people I respect about genre fiction, both books and movies and TV shows, have big problems with Star Trek Discovery. Mm. Annalee Newitz, Catherine Tendagosta, all these people that I respect. And when I read their criticisms, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's true. But I loved it. Like, I didn't really think any of these things when I was watching it. Mm-hmm. I just went along like a schmuck, like, well, okay, so they're changing the rules again. I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if I have the standing to say that I'm excited about Solo, because I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm a lore nerd, and I want to find out, you know, how the Millennium Falcon was used by Lando, and what is the Kessel Run? Like, I love finding out these things. The voice of Alden Ehrenreich does not sound like Harrison Ford to me at all. Mm-hmm. So therefore does not sound like Han Solo to me at all. Mm-hmm. The idea that we might just be retreading things that lead us to the other, to the Skywalker saga, like Rogue One did, makes me less excited this time. I liked it in Rogue One, but I hope they don't pull that trick again. So I have mixed feelings about it. And if I have mixed feelings about it, it makes me nervous.
Yeah. Or maybe it'll flip the other way and all the big names you respect in genre fiction will suddenly love Solo and think it's the greatest thing the world had ever made. Mm. You never know. I'm kind of with you though. I feel the same way about Discovery, which I just finished, finally caught up on it, finished it. I know it just ended last week, but I was slow to catch up on all the episodes, but I finally did it. And I loved it. I really liked it. I don't think it's perfect. I think it's got some pacing issues.
It definitely has flaws.
Yeah, some definite issues. But for a thing as crazy important to CBS and others to make Star Trek work again, I'm not surprised it was riddled with issues. Changes of showrunners, all that stuff doesn't shock me given the impact of how big this thing could be. But what they did within that, what they did right, I think they did really right. And I'm officially confident that they can make a modern era Star Trek show that has the hallmarks of Star Trek without feeling old and stilted.
Yeah. So, and I think probably one of the differences between me and the critics are the expectations for me were a Star Trek.
Yeah.
I didn't need anything new. If you wanted something new and more in depth, something along the lines of The Expanse, then you saw glimmers of that with that early Klingon story that's petered out. And that seems to be what a lot of these critics are saying is they set something up and they didn't follow through. They set up a larger, more complex conflict and then they simplified it.
Right.
And I totally get that. I wanted Star Trek. And my big problems early on were, this doesn't seem consistent. This doesn't sound like what Starfleet would do, that he's not acting like a Starfleet captain. She's not acting like a Starfleet specialist. Mm-hmm. And without being spoilery, my concerns were allayed by subsequent events. So I think I love where it ended. And that's because my concerns were different.
Yeah, I have the exact same experience. So maybe I'm wrong too. Maybe I'm getting old.
Well, Acetasis, I always say your name wrong and I apologize, said, no one can tell you you can't be excited. Fandom isn't a competition.
That's true. We should always remember that. And also, D.B. Weiss and Benioff working on something that isn't Game of Thrones, but that is Star Wars, is interesting. I don't know what that means. Like, having their names on it doesn't necessarily do much for me because I know how tightly controlled this stuff is on the Disney level.
Yeah.
So I don't think they just get to waltz in and do to that fiction what they did to George R. R. Martin's. So it's kind of a non-story for me in a weird way. I hope it's great, and I think structurally they're good, and they know how to put out a thing. But, is it really going to be that different than Star Wars?
Hold on. Think about what they just did in this last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Imagine working with George Lucas, who has notes about how things have to go.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That's way more restrictive than Kathleen Kennedy saying, you can decide who Ray's parents are.
Yeah.
So I think Benioff and Weiss might be tailor-made for Kathleen Kennedy. In other words, they'll play by the rules, as they have shown they can do with Game of Thrones, but they're also brilliant at it, and she will maybe trust them enough to give them, like she did with Rian Johnson, the ability to go forward. And man, did those two know how to tell an epic storyline within the constrained walls of George R. R. Martin's universe. If there's anything dangerous about it, it's that they'll be telling a new story and they won't have those rails. They won't have the safety net like they did with Game of Thrones.
That's an interesting perspective. I hope you're right. And I'm excited just because I think it's an interesting pick. We don't know anything about the series or the series of films they might be working on. Like you said, Rian Johnson's doing something separate. And we have talked ad nauseum on the show about what a series or a series of serieses could be for the streaming app or TV in general. So probably not much more to say about that, but it's exciting. I mean, I feel like Star Wars is the no-brainer of what makes that Disney app sell. Maybe that and more Marvel stuff. But, they've kind of planted their Marvel stuff everywhere. It's on every network. Everybody's got some Marvel project. Multiple studios have Marvel projects. And Netflix itself has a bunch of Marvel projects. So the way that they really differentiate that Disney app maybe is exclusive Star Wars TV show content you can't get anywhere but there.
Revan Dunn says, Benioff and Weiss doing Star Wars means Luke and Leia can be like Lannisters. Han Solo will die in carbonite and R2 could warg into Chewie.
That sounds like John. Nicely
That's
done.
That's amazing.
Yeah, nicely done.
All right. Baris Kipp, the developer of Rocket Fuel, based on liquid hydrogen, has died at age 107.
Jeez.
Yeah. Kipp was born in Belarus, grew up in Poland, spent 30 days in prison in Germany during World War II for carrying illegal travel passes that he was using to try to help get people out of the country, was later then accused of collaboration with the Nazis by the Soviets because he took a job as a teacher. He then fled to the U.S. By 1960, he was an expert in rocket fuel. His best known work was, of course, liquid hydrogen that propelled the rockets in the Apollo missions that got people to the moon.
Jeez.
He returned to Germany in 1972 to retire.
Oh my gosh. So our entire lives, basically, he's been retired.
Yeah. I mean, what a life.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you sit around sipping on rocket fuel all day, you can live to 107. That's the lesson. Drink rocket fuel.
And then, of course, you know, a couple weeks ago, Elon Musk launches a car into space. So
yeah. What's your take on that? I found that weird, but
did you watch it live?
I did, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't understand.
I thought it was dumb. I'll be honest. I thought it was dumb. Not in a, like, it was bad sort of way, but it was like, oh, rich guy can launch his car into space. Okay, I guess that's kind of funny. More interested in the science of it and the landing of the rockets. I thought the rocket launch itself was very important, and the re-landing of the boosters was very important. The part about the car did not get me until I saw that shot of the stuffed dummy in the seat with the words, "Don't panic." And just the idea that we humans, right? Forget about Elon Musk and what you think of him for a moment. I actually like the guy.
I do too.
But forget about what you think of him. Forget about the fact that he's one of the richest people on earth. We humans just took Douglas Adams' slogan, put it in a car, launched it into space with a David Bowie song playing, and apparently packed in like a weird format storage of the Foundation trilogy by Isaac Asimov is in that car as well. I love that. I love what it says about us. Like, we have gotten so good at this. I know we haven't gone back to the moon, right? Yeah. But we've gotten so good at this that we can launch jokes into space. I mean, yes, you can have all kinds of criticisms about whether we should, is that responsible, etc. But we did it. We're able to do it. And I think that's kind of an important milestone, and it really brought a smile to my face.
I think you've sold me. I've come around now. I hadn't thought about it in those ways. That's very interesting. I assume he still has a pair of Ray-Bans he forgot about and left in the glove box. That's my favorite.
The big slips.
Yeah, my own little personal idea I've decided to hold in my heart until I'm
dead. Kept waiting for the dummy to move and show, he's actually in the car.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Take off his mask and say, it was me, Elon Musk, the whole time.
Here the whole time.
Which would be amazing. But yeah, so now there's a very fuel-efficient electric car in space. Doesn't even use fuel, really. Although it took a lot to get it there. But there's some irony there, right? A little bit. Like all the fuel it took to get a fuel-less car into space.
Fuel-less car into space, yeah. I mean, the waste, let's forget about, a lot of people think space rocketry is a waste altogether, but the waste is not the fuel. You needed the fuel to do the test.
Yeah.
The waste is the car. You've wasted a car. That's money that could have fed people. I get it.
Yeah.
But we can fix both those problems. I don't think the car going into space is the reason people can't eat.
No.
There's plenty of food. There's a whole different mess of problems that could fix that and still let Elon Musk shoot his guards.
Absolutely. And by the way, I think it's no small thing that Barry's Kit has a weird name and Elon Musk has a weird name. The two of the weirdest names in the world needed each
they
other to
anagrams,
get that.
They aren't anagrams, are they?
I hope not. That'd be crazy.
He is Barry's
Kit. Whoa.
All right. Sony announced Kaz Hirai is going to step down as CEO of Sony. Uh-oh. He'll remain on as chairman. He's not leaving the company. CFO Kenichiro Yoshida will become CEO on April 1st. The image sensor company, as I call them, because that's where they make all their money, reported a quadrupling of operating profit in the third quarter of Q3. The important part for geeks of the world is not so much the image sensors, although that's important for the photo geeks, but the PS4 shipments were a big driver of the profit in the holiday quarter, although they were down year to year from 9.7 million in 2016 to 9 million in 2017. Sony did raise its profit forecast for the year ending in March to 720 billion yen. But PS4, here's the question. I don't think it's like PS4 is dead.
No.
PS4 at the normal slowing down pace midway through its cycle, or is it early?
I think that we're hitting that stage. There's always this little phase where what now came out in 2013. So what are we, 4 years into the cycle? That's about when you start to see things kind of crest, whatever they're going to be. They still have this disgusting lead in the console market, like by so many leaps and bounds. There's just no way Microsoft catches up to it, and there's no way the Switch catches up to it this particular generation. But it does make sense to see that slowing. Some of that may be fueled by the idea that last Christmas, the Switch was the hot thing to get, and people who may have considered PlayStation Pro upgrades or something to that effect may have opted instead to get a Switch. Hard to say, but I wouldn't see it as much more than just not a correction, but just kind of this is what happens at this stage. Obviously, they'd love to just have it be year over year, better and better every year. I don't think that's possible in the mid cycle of a console, because you're kind of saturated at that point, especially the numbers they're at. That's an enormous success.
Might tell us something too, because there was a lot of talk about these are the last generation of consoles, right? Mm-hmm. And the PS4 Pro and the Xbox were sort of pointing the way to incremental upgrades will be the future.
Yeah.
Well, this looks like a normal console cycle. This looks like you need a PS5 to get people excited and boost those sales again, because the PS4 Pro is not keeping the momentum going.
I have always been skeptical of this idea. I think maybe what we're seeing is what's possible, a little mid-level strikes at something better or whatever, like the Pro, but it's not the same as a PC upgrade cycle, right? Where I can just swap video cards out. Well, maybe not now in the Bitcoin world, but used to be a little easier and cheaper to do that. But they kind of have this marketing problem. And I think consoles, if we continue to have consoles, they'll continue to have big flagship releases of major new releases of the hardware, or else I don't think they capture the magic the way they, you know, if it's just the last console and we just get PS4 point whatevers for the rest of our lives, that's boring. Mm-hmm. Boring and lame. I will say this about Kaz Rai. He was, before being CEO of all of Sony, was in charge of the PlayStation brand. That was his previous job. And he killed it in there. Just really, really got them to a place where they could go from successful PS3, but didn't do quite what they expected. Also, it took him forever to catch up. It was a rough generation. Over to this new place where they were able to launch the PS4, be very successful with it. He moved up in the ranks, and it's nice to see him, you know, leave things a little better than he found it. I think that guy's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it does make me wonder what the future of that department is, though. Like, he has spearheaded it all the way to the top of the company, and now he is bowing out.
Mm-hmm.
They make their money off image sensors and games.
Mm-hmm.
So do we see them spin out Sony Pictures Entertainment? Do we see them end their phone business? And do we see them change their game strategy at all? Or do they say, well, this is one of the things that worked, we better not mess with it?
It's one of the things that people, shareholders and others, have been telling Microsoft to do, is to spin off the Xbox brand. And they keep refusing to do that. I mean, maybe someone will budge eventually and turn them into spun off, you know, solely functioning businesses outside of the larger companies. But if that ever happens, I don't know if it'll be all that obvious to the consumer. We'll know, because we'll be following it and we'll know what's happening. But hopefully it's a real transparent thing for them. My biggest question about the next rollout, whatever it is what does that even look like? Are we buying discs still? Is it fully digital like I expected sooner? It already is for me. Everything I do is digital. I don't have any discs anymore for anything, and I have a lot of games. So does the rest of the world move that way? Do these consoles push people in that direction or not? Like, what is the expectation of a next generation console at this point? And I think that's a fun question to explore. So who knows, man? PS5, Xbox, whatever. Sony or Microsoft really has to do something different this next generation to recapture. the hearts and minds, which I hope they do, because this is good competition for everybody. But it's
it'll be the Xbox One plus one.
Yeah, that see, you know, you why aren't you taking? Oh no, that'd be Kaz Hirai's job. You need to take whoever just left the Xbox division. I forgot his name. You need to scooch in there. Tom Merritt in charge of the Xbox.
I want to be in charge of naming the Xbox. Yeah, That's all. That's all.
Now here's the deal. This weekend, Black Panther comes out. I'm going Friday night. Everybody I know is going to see it. Stoked. Can't wait. Highest selling pre-sale tickets for any Marvel MCU movie up to this point, which is a big deal. Great reviews, blah, blah, blah. All of that's true. But the one big, let's say the pee in my mattress. I mean, like the little, you know, the vegetable pee.
Yeah, like princess in the pee.
Right? Yeah, not like I peed in my mattress. Anyway,
right.
That little thing that I can't sleep because I know what's in there is that I knew that Tom got to see it.
I can't sleep
with
pee on my mattress.
Tom got to see the damn thing before I did. So without spoilers, obviously, tell us why we should all rush out, spend our money, and see Black Panther this weekend.
Well, okay, it seems like everybody doesn't need me to tell them that. Everybody's going to go see it anyway because the trailer is working and people are hearing good things about it. My wife works for Rotten Tomatoes, as I mentioned earlier, which means sometimes I get a plus one to go in and see a movie with her, which is great. Mm. I got to see Black Panther 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It was one of the first press showings. Yeah. And it was amazing. It just was good on so many different levels that I can't begin to tell you all of them. There's, you know, the representation of Wakanda, which is not done in a like Africa is great sort of way. It's Wakanda is great. But what about the rest of Africa? And that actually is the opening for Michael B. Jordan's character, Killmonger, to come in and say, hey, y'all, you got all this wealth, you got this technology, and your brothers are starving out there. What's up with that?
Yeah.
And he does it in the believable way where you say, well, you know, he's got a point. Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't you guys doing more? Mm-hmm. So you have a more complex Wakanda scenario. You've got a complex villain that starts to win you over. And you have to have Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther, kind of talk you out of it as a viewer. Like, hey, no, but the thing you're forgetting is, you know, you can't just ends don't justify the means, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is why we do it this way. All kinds of plugs into future Avengers are left in there. You've got just beautiful characters, most of them deep, and the ones that aren't just don't have a lot of screen time, so you couldn't get depth. It's not just strong female characters. It's well-rounded female characters that are different and have personalities and motivations, and you understand, and they're important. Just so good.
That's great. I'm excited. I like that. I never say any name right. Lupita Luanga or Gongo.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Thank you. The one that played, she plays not Jeff Kanata, Maz Kanata.
Is she playing Jeff Kanata in the movie of his life? That'd be amazing.
Yeah, definitely not her. But I really like her. I like her a lot. I like the girl whose name I can't remember from Walking Dead. She's amazing. I want to see all these people. Yeah, Michonne. I want to see everybody. I can't wait. This was my, I don't know if I've told you this. When I was a kid, junior high era, I thought Black Panther was the coolest character in the history of comics. And I also thought they'd never make a movie out of this because this is just too kind of niche and not mainstream enough to be X-Men or Spider-Man or any of that. I just thought it would always be this kind of low priority. And nope, here it is. And I could not be more excited to go and kind of relive some of that. So
Danai Gurira is Michonne and plays Okoye. Lupita's character is so different than Maz Kanata. So you get another look at what Lupita can do, right? Obviously different because Maz Kanata is a thousand-year-old
CGI alien, thousand-year-old lady.
But instead of like, oh, this is like a human Maz Kanata. No similarity whatsoever between the two characters, as far as I can tell. Letitia Wright as Shuri is crazy good.
Really?
She's my favorite of the whole thing.
You want to hear a bad joke that I thought I made up today, but now I found about 100 other examples of it. So like the internet is, you know, you thought you had an original idea and turns out everybody else is saying it, but I'm going to just say it here because I think it's funny. This may be terrible, but I'm going to say it. I can't remember his name. This isn't going to work if I can't remember his name. What's his name?
I'm worried now.
You should be a little bit worried, but don't worry. It won't reflect on you. Hold on. I'm going to find it. Here it is. Okay.
That's the thing, Scott. I've been doing this long enough that people just send everyone on the show the hate mail, whether they were the person who said it or not.
Oh, here it is. Martin Freeman, and this is an exact quote from me. I put it on Twitter earlier. Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis are the two Tolkien white characters.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? There was some controversy over that.
Really?
Whether that was okay to say. I don't think it's...
That's a dad joke.
I leave it to friends who are in a position to you know, who've lived the struggle to tell me whether that's not okay or not. I think it's probably pretty funny.
It's just a dumb dad.
Because they're from J.R.
It's a dumb dad joke. Yeah, that's all that is. But you guys can let us know. We always love hearing from you. In fact, a lot of this news, of course you do. You're the lord of it. The news we get here today is, in fact, comes from you people. And by you people, I mean the following names. Tom, who helped contribute to our news lineup this week?
Jeff _ Rose, as he's known at We Have Concerns, the _. They give nicknames over there. Tipo De Cinta, Strike It Rich, I Am Sci-Fi, all submitted stories that we used on the show. Keep it coming at currentgeek.reddit.com.
Yeah. Sidian says, the second the movie's cast got announced, like 4,000 people tripped over one another to make that joke. You're probably right. Yeah. Also, someone says, what? Tom likes puns? Who knew? We all knew it. And here's what else I know. If you want to support this show, there's a great way to do it. We now have a Patreon. It's live and in charge. Go to patreon.com/currentgeek. You can check out all the levels we have there and ways to support the show if you enjoy Current Geek. I know many of you do. This is our way to support the show now. So go check that out and plunk it down for Current Geek over at patreon.com/currentgeek. Hey, everybody, a quick conversation about our good buddies over there at Casper. Oh, Casper. You are invited to take advantage of Casper's competitive limited time President's Day offer for the first time ever. That's right. Casper has three mattress lines to choose from: the original Casper, the innovative Wave, and the streamlined Essential. It's a place to shop for President's Day mattress savings this year. They sell directly to you, eliminating added costs and saving you money. Sleep in superior comfort the rest of 2018 and beyond with the help of the internet's favorite mattress brand. Oh, yes, that's right. I love mine. Sent it to me in a nice box, came out, boop, put it on, got a big king size. Sleeping good every night. That's what I'm doing. How about you? For a limited time, visit casper.com/savings and receive up to $200 off your purchase of $2,000 or more. This special offer expires February 20th, 2018. See casper.com/terms for details. Terms and conditions apply. That's $200 off your purchase of $2,000 or more by going to casper.com/savings. And again, this special offer expires February 20th, 2018, so get on it. Thanks, Casper. All right, we're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to call somebody, and this is going to be, I think it will be an
wow. So this is, the pop quiz is going to be a real pop quiz. Yeah. We're just going to call somebody, huh?
Yeah. This is going to be interesting. So I'm going to add somebody to this group. Oh gosh. Why did it do that? Hold on. Make you the focus. There
hello.
And the, I hear John somebody. Jagger. Yeah. Listen to that guy. You know what this means?
America scores and wins.
Oh, look, it's time for us to play the pop quiz with a random caller we just pulled out of our heads.
I had no idea that I needed to be ready. I was just sitting by my computer, minding my own business, and suddenly this call came through.
Look, folks, maybe he knew, maybe he didn't. That's not important. We're not here to talk about the past. But if you would like to be pop quizzed by Scott and Tom, you have to be a patron. Patreon.com/currentgeek. Send us a message the day of Current Geek on Tuesday to say, yes, I will be around at 5 Mountain, and give us a Discord username that we can find you at.
It can either be Discord, it can be Skype, it can be, I can pull you in on any of these.
Contact info, just give us contact info.
Something, yeah, we just need, you can even, I can arrange it so it's a phone call if you want, but whatever it is, we want to make sure that patrons get a chance to do it. John is today's guinea pig.
That's right. You too could be the next John Jagger.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my gosh. You want people to call, right?
John, of course, my co-host on Core, and there will be Dungeons, which airs every weekend on this fine network, and a good pal and a friend. He's been on this show many times, actually. And John, we've got questions for you today. You've done this before, so you kind of know the drill. But if you get a question right based on this trivia, you're going to hear this sound. When you get it wrong, you'll hear this. Tom's going to check all the scores we go, and at the end of this, he's going to give you a rating. Now, that rating may or may not determine the rest of your life. We'll have to see, okay?
Right.
Now, my favorite part of this is your topic. Are you ready for it?
Okay. I think so.
Oh, hold on. I'm using a different part of the rule book for this because of the rating system.
Yeah, it's all changed now, so Tom has to get up to speed.
Go ahead. I'll catch up.
All right. Here's your topic. Dragon Ball Z trivia.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. You're a big fan of the Dragon Ball Z, I understand. There's a new video game out. It's Dragon Ball Z Fighting Time. What's it called? I forget.
Dragon Ball Fighters.
Fighters Z with a Z. And it's pretty good from what I hear. And seems like you'd be in the right mode of thinking for this. So here's your first question in the area of Dragon Ball Z trivia. Number one, in what year was Dragon Ball Z originally released?
Oh my gosh, I didn't know we were going to get technical questions here. 1985.
You are close, but not correct. 1989 is the correct answer. Now, you're probably right about Dragon Ball without the Z. That would have probably been 85-ish, but I don't actually know the answer to that. But Z, definitely 89. Tom, a ruling? Any change? Anything weird there?
No. I'm just compiling it as part of the rating, but I will say the buzz was appropriate.
All right, thank you. Next question. What race is Piccolo?
He's a Namekian.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on. Said that so fast, I barely knew what to push. That is correct. Spelled Namekian. Well done. Man, you may ace the rest of this.
I might be okay. It's years and numbers a little iffy. The rest, okay.
All right. What god is the creator of the Majin race? Or Majin. I don't know how you said. M-A-J-I-N.
Imagine. That's how we say it in Southern Illinois.
Imagine Entertainment.
This is tricky because I don't know if they ever said.
Imagine.
I don't know. I know it was, you said what, god?
Which god, yeah. I didn't know
God created this question.
I'm going to say the Grand Kai.
The Grand Kai is incorrect. The answer is Amun. Amun.
Amun?
Not a moon, but a one word, Amun.
Well, that's great. You know what? I'm just happy I'm setting the bar at a reasonable level so you'll get plenty of calls.
Yeah. Well, listen, if I was ever asked on the spot to answer questions about Dragon Ball Z, I would just melt into a puddle of goop and not know a thing.
Right. Pull up your future trucks. We got a couple more questions.
Here you go.
Nice. That was great.
Who is the wife of Krillin?
That's Android 18.
Damn, that was fast. Just swooped
in. Speed bonus.
Ooh, speed bonus. All right. This is all going to your title at the end. Who are the parents of Raditz? It's your final question. Who are the parents of Raditz?
The true parentage.
Well, he's technically Goku's brother, I think, unless that got retconned. So his dad
junk traders.
Yeah, they were nobodies, really.
Yeah.
So it was Bardock would be the dad, and we'll say Goku's mother.
I'm going to say, Tom, you have to call this one. So the Bardock part, correct.
Okay.
Mother is technically correct, but the name is Gine or Jin or Jine.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I didn't remember his mother's name.
Gynen from 10 forward?
No.
Yep.
No.
It was, you know, somewhere between her getting pulled into that space ribbon and being
on
the
Enterprise.
She did
live a long life.
That's the space ribbon. Don't remind me about that. That's the other thing. How can you be a fan of Generations and not like Discovery? Discovery has all kinds of cool Generation stuff in it. Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, Gine is her name. Tom, you want to make a ruling on that?
Sure. Based on the number, the speed, the quality of the answers, on a scale of 1 to 5, your rating is over 9,000 ghost nappas.
Oh my gosh, dude. Look at the new, I don't even know what those are. Isn't that great?
It's what I always wanted.
Well, I'm glad that we were able to provide what you needed in a timely and efficient manner. John Jagger, everybody. Follow him on Twitter at Revendon. He's a good man. No, he's John_Jagger now. What am I saying?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, how did I forget that? I don't know. And then if you really liked what you heard here and you're thinking, man, John would be fun to hang out with, come back tomorrow. Watch Core, Heroes of the Storm podcast. We do it every Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Mountain. Really good. Check that out, too. He'll be there. John, have a good day. We'll talk to you later. All right. There you go. We've done a good deed today by...
Ah, good job, John Jagger.
Yeah, well done, John
Jagger.
Well
done.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Time to dig deep into the pockets of our pants that we call forecast pants. This is something that a long time ago...
Put on your forecast pants, people.
A long time ago, we had a little show that was entirely this, and now we have a segment in its honor and in its memory, and we talk about things about the future, predictions about, I don't know, tech and pop culture and social stuff and all that kind of thing. Tom, it's yours this week. What do you got?
I think... Okay, you know your biome is like the gut bacteria you have and the little... like fleas that live on your skin. Like it's your entire living makeup of you, right?
Yeah.
Not just your cells.
The stuff we can't see, but is there.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's some things out there about, kind of changing the biome, particularly in your gut, for various health reasons. I think biome replacements will become a fashion and beauty trend.
Oh my gosh. All right.
People will go in for treatments that upgrade the natural biome of bacteria and viruses, not just in their gut, but in their bloodstream, their skin, even their brain, to improve their appearance, their energy, and their mental sharpness. Now, some of these treatments will be based on actual early research, but like all trends, there will be plenty of them that are actually useless, but still charge high dollars. And after a few major mishaps, the system will become heavily regulated. Those who undergo the treatments will have a signature shade to maybe their skin or their lips, and a slang term will arise for people who undergo biome replacements, like they'll be called virus bottles or something.
Something like that. Like, I love nicknames for future stuff. Like, what was the drug in RoboCop 2? Nuke, I think. I think it was Nuke.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. Or like in the Tom Cruise one, the Philip K. Dick deal. I can't think of it all of a sudden.
Minority Report.
They have those weird drugs that they inhale really quick, almost like a little asthma treatment thing. But it's like future drugs. I always think that's really great. All right. I'm going to just say that I think you're actually onto something here. Having had my own travails in the world of what the hell's wrong with my guts.
Mm-hmm.
I have had lots of research and conversations with specialists and tons of people about what's going on down there. And what's going on down there turns out is very complex and nothing like what people probably think. We have an incredibly complicated and complex system of chemical reactions and biomes, as you put it, or biological material that is there for our good and for our betterment. And when that's off, it kind of jacks you up. So we're already on the path of figuring out ways to replace good bacteria or bad bacteria with good bacteria, to replenish that in some sort of natural way.
Yeah, Tinvec points out there's fecal transplants. That's a real thing now.
Absolutely. In fact, there was a time where they were talking to me about that and I was really dreading it. But basically it was a pill form of somebody else's useless excrement.
And bacteria. Bacteria.
Thank you very much. And I was going to try it. Never happened. But had I done that, that's another step in that direction. So I actually think there is I think this is a thing. They also
it's
now
gonna be
say,
like Botox. You go in for the biome treatment,
right? But for some people, this will be life changing, saving.
Oh yeah, no, I think it will develop. The trend that is bogus will develop out of a real thing that's helping people. Yeah.
Okay, and I'm down with that. So the other thing I was gonna add to that would be, if you go in to get that done. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. One of the doctors I had made a point of this idea that most of your body's serotonin, everyone thinks it's all in your brain.
Okay.
Serotonin needed for being calm and emotional regulation and all this other stuff. So there's always, you know, if people have a lack of that, there's medication that helps people with that or whatever.
Chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. Recent studies show that a huge, I know I should probably cite one or two, but I don't have them handy. But what he described to me, again, this is a professional man telling me these things. He says that a huge percentage of your body's natural serotonin is actually situated in your guts, your stomach, your intestinal tract, that sort of area. And some people are lacking that there and therefore have a bunch of issues. And it affects mood and it affects all these other things that you'd never think of. You'd think, oh, that's just all up here. But really, it's kind of everywhere. So I think your idea is not only going to be that thing, but it's going to happen sooner than we think. The question is, when will it become also kind of like this cosmetic thing?
Yeah, you know? Right. Because Botox treatment, there's some real medical applications for that people need. Mm-hmm. And then they found out, oh, we can also use it for this other stuff. We'll do that.
There's a lot of things like that out there. Yeah. I mean, what is plastic surgery outside of an evolution of surgery? You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? At the most tautological, yeah, it's just another kind of surgery. But also, you know, repairing burn victims or people who've lost limbs or have had severe damage. And then they start to realize, well, shoot, if we can fix those people that are real serious, just think what we can do for people who don't have any damage and just pretty them up.
Yeah. When you were in the Civil War and you were biting on a piece of wood and had a little bit of whiskey maybe to help deaden the pain, and they were taking your leg off, I don't think anybody went, oh, and while you're at it, could we just tuck? I got a little weird sag here since I turned 30. Could we tuck the? Like, nobody talked like that. We've gotten to a place.
No, because it was the Civil War. And they said, dear brother, I have a little bit of the saggy flesh. Couldst thou? No.
That goes a little further back, but yeah. I like it. You got all biblical. During that.
Yeah, couldst thou got a little too far.
Yeah. Chat room's having some interesting back and forths. I mean, it's like anything. It will probably go more commercial than you think. We'll find other uses. But I am 100% in the party here. I want to see more of this kind of research, and I want to see it save a bunch of people first, and then you weirdos can go in and get your customized freaking designer gut transplants.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that inspired this forecast was the We Have Concerns episode recently, where they talked about the virus that helps us form long-term memories.
Oh, right.
And we're finding more and more of these things where there's less of a line between our bodies and the rest of the world.
Wasn't that that was a thing that they said, like at some point in evolutionary history, that virus took hold and changed and gave us cognitive thinking or something?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where I read about it a little bit. Yeah, that's crazy. Think about that. If we'd have never had that virus, what would we be?
What's wrong with him? He caught a virus and now he remembers everything.
And he's really thoughtful and brought me flowers.
Now he's
stuff.
Depressed. Yeah.
He can tell.
Apparently, we lost a bunch of people 2 weeks ago, but yeah. I don't know.
He understands the difference between drama and comedy, and he's really nice to the waitress now. Like, yeah, I don't know.
And what now he's living a tragedy.
Well, anyway, there's that. Hey, I got an email here from Kengren, I think is how you say it.
Thank you, Kengren.
Says this came to us at currentgeek@gmail.com. You're encouraged to send emails to us. It says, dear Tom and Scott, know what I would love? Just like you're doing these cool film reviews on the show, why not once in a while we get an autopilot episode happening again? Not all the time, just enough to whet all our appetites again for the goodness that was autopilot. Thanks, Kengren.
Okay.
What do you think? You want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do one next time.
How about Lost? You want to do Lost?
Love it.
We may have been talking about this before we got this email from Kengren, but people have been asking for this for a long time. We don't mind rotating stuff in. We're having a blast with those movie things. Everybody seems to like them. Why not an occasional autopilot? I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah. We just want to geek out about stuff. That's kind of what Current Geek was formed, was so Scott and I could just hang out.
Yeah, this is our chance to be dopes and have fun doing it. So that's what we're doing. So look forward to that. That's coming up soon. Don't forget to check out the end of the show today. We get these rad segments from Legal Geek, an actual lawyer who for some reason bothers to even listen to our crap. And I love that he does, because he's super smart and makes me, in turn, feel smarter than I am. Anyway, he's got a segment this week about how the Super Bowl and the Olympics are closely intertwined with trademarks. Interesting stuff there you would not normally think about.
Perfect time to be thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
The games that are happening in South Korea are on right now.
Are you watching a lot of that? How are you with
the
Olympics?
Actually, yeah, I'm an Olympics nerd. I love watching that stuff. I love watching luge and, you know, combined Nordic skiing and all that.
Are you okay with the, like, time-shifted coverage and commercial breaks and all that stuff?
No time-shifted coverage. Everything's live.
Oh, how are you getting that? Oh, is it just at night? Or
NBC stopped time shifting. They're just making everything live now.
Oh, see, I haven't watched a dime of this yet. I haven't watched
anything. Yeah, see? But it's almost too little too late, because everybody I talk to is like, yeah, but I don't want to deal with that. I'm like, you haven't obviously tried, because it's all live.
I had no idea.
I say it's all live, they are definitely taking things that happened overnight and replaying them for people.
Sure.
You know, so, but what they show on the East Coast is the same stuff they're showing on the West Coast. And when they can show things that are actually happening live in South Korea, they will.
What can it? All right. Well, this changes things because I was really not that jazzed about it this time. The only time I've really been into the Winter Olympics is when they were here in my home city.
Yeah,
I was super into it, but that was like 15 years ago. So for me to get all wrapped up again, it was all about, well, I want to see what I want to see kind of. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them to pick and choose and say, well, we think the world would rather have ice dancing when really all I want is those sniper guys on skis.
So the two hangups are you still need to authenticate on the NBC Sports app to be able to watch, to be able to choose whatever you want to watch.
Yeah.
But you don't need a cable subscription to do that anymore. You could sign up for Sling TV for $20 a month and get it. Or if you're PlayStation View or Hulu Live or YouTube TV, all of those can authenticate you as well. The other thing is the UI on the apps leaves a lot to be desired. I've started to figure it out now, and it's not as bad as it was the first couple days. Mm. Like I found where they buried the individual sports so I can go straight into an actual individual sport.
Yeah.
And there's been some janky streaming issues and stuff, but it is all there and it is all live if you want it.
Is it still a Bob Costas joint?
No, he's gone. Last year was last time.
Oh, I had no idea. Well, he's not dead, right? He's alive. He still lives.
No, he's still with us as a human being. He's just not working on the Olympics.
Okay. Well, who's their main guy? Who's the voice this time?
You know, I don't remember this guy's name, sadly, but I really like him.
Okay.
He's new to me. I'd never seen him. I'm sure he does other things for NBC Sports. I just hadn't seen them.
Yeah.
And he's great.
We just know it isn't Matt Lauer. We know that, right?
It's not. He no longer works for NBC.
Ah, I see. All right. He took a box of his stuff and was escorted to his car by
security. He and his button were escorted out of the building.
Come on, Button. We're going. All right. Well, there you go.
Mike Tirico. Thank you, Gone Postal. Mike Tirico is the name of the new host.
Oh, I've never heard of him. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like who's that? Lester Holt. I like that guy. He's cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen him.
Yeah. He just does news. He's boring. Anyway, there you go. That's the show, everybody. Thank you for being here. Again, email us at currentgeek@gmail.com. Support us at patreon.com/currentgeek. Before we go, Tom Merritt, anything happening this week that people should know about?
I think you should check out my books. Got lots of books and I got more on the way. And actually the best way to keep up on the books I write is my book Patreon. I'm going to be starting a new audiobook there of a brand new book that's in the same universe as Lot Beta. And if you haven't read Lot Beta, you can find that at TomMerrittBooks.com, or the Patreon is patreon.com/AceDetect.
Is this your first foray into let's dig into the same universe again for a new story?
Yeah, this will be.
That must be daunting.
I've got another Pilot X novel in the works, but this one is called The Galleon System, and it is it's the first time I've stayed in a universe.
Do you know how many liters in a galleon?
G-A-L-L-I-A-N.
See, I had to, you know, it's better than Tolkien white guys, whatever. Anyway, hey, thanks everybody for listening. You guys are the best, and we hope to be back here very soon. It's Tuesdays now. That's right. If you want to watch live and hang out with this rad chat room that we have right here, be here live Tuesdays. That's at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here at frogpants.tv. Check us out, currentgeek.com. It's got links to everything you need to know. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom. We'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we celebrate last week's great Super Bowl and the opening of another Olympic Games with a look at how trademarks are closely intertwined with these events and athletes. Trademarks may not be the first thing that come to mind when you think of world-famous sporting events and spectacles like the Super Bowl and the Olympics. However, the use and enforcement of trademarks has become a vital part of these events and how companies around the world can participate in the celebration. For example, both the National Football League and the International Olympic Committee hold significant trademarks covering the names and logos associated with these events. Both organizations aggressively defend such IP as well, as anything with a multicolored linked ring design or marketing surrounding Super Bowl Sunday would quickly be shut down if not allowed by a license agreement from these rights holders. By keeping such a tight lock on these names and logos, these organizations are able to maintain highly profitable revenue streams from licensing the rights to companies like McDonald's and others who want to advertise and be a significant part of these big events. One interesting thing to look out for in the next 2 weeks is the new faces who become viral, or nicknames and slogans that grab the world's attention and become water cooler talk. These athletes or teams can leverage that rise to fame for a longer period of time if they register for trademark protection and then defend and use those rights after the Olympics. This is similar to what happens in some NFL athletes' lives, such as the Beast Mode moniker that will far outlive memories of running back Marshawn Lynch, who coined the popular phrase. For any of these athletes who are still in college, navigating the acquisition of trademark rights and the NCAA compliance rulebook can be highly difficult. However, there's no rule stopping athletes in college from locking down these trademarks and then fully leveraging them for profit after their NCAA eligibility is over. While it's true that many of these 15 minutes of fame elements of the Olympics will fade from public consciousness quickly, just like the right shark moment from a couple Super Bowl halftime shows ago, they do lead to trademark implications and interesting cases we look forward to covering here. In another quick sports trademark story, the Cleveland Indians organization decided this week to stop using their Chief Wahoo logo on the field starting in 2019. While trademarks can still be maintained on allegedly disparaging marks following the N. Ray Tam Supreme Court decision relative to the Slants band, the Cleveland baseball team has chosen to relent from public pressure, while other similar teams, like the Washington Redskins football team, does not. However, to keep the valuable trademark rights from lapsing, Cleveland will likely continue to sell merchandise with Chief Wahoo, so the symbol's not going away anytime soon, thanks to the trademark rules and practices we have in place today. The bottom line is, trademarks and big sporting events fit together like a hand in glove. While pursuing athletic conquest and glory, many athletes and others happen upon fame that can give them the financial success they need for life, thanks to trademarks and branding protection. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.